everybody. Another edition of the Cash Process. It's already week 16. It's Christmas week. It's Santa week. I'm your host, AC, with DFS Karma and BetKarma.com. As always, Ben Hosta with me. We're going to break down last week's slate. We're going to talk this upcoming slate, any things we did right and wrong in our main lineups last week, and we'll get to the news and notes as always. But Ben, I feel like this is the third or fourth week in a row, at least, that we've come on here saying, what a week, not just for ourselves, but, dude, the entire community over at DFS Karma. Indescribable at this point, the amount of wins, and not just DFS, the prop market, the betting market. I mean, so happy to see everybody just absolutely dominating. Well, how was your week last week, man? And then I know you saw what I saw, and then let's get into next week.
Yeah, it was a great week for both of us. Lineup did really good. It's funny that, Jalen Hurts, I didn't have Jalen Hurts and I still smashed because I ended up, I played Kyler. And by the time the weekend got here, I was for sure I was going to play Kyler and Hopkins, and they were super low owned. They were at 10% each. So that was great. Obviously I had Kamara. Derrick Henry, should have been 100% owned. He was 60% owned and still ran bad. I mean, Ryan Tannehill took two rushing touchdowns. Also, they threw one to A.J. Brown from the 3-yard line. And then by the end of the game, they had Darrington Evanson, who he scored a touchdown inside the 5, I think. So could have had more points than he did. And I had Michael Gallup. That was a crazy week, I think, in general. People were watching the stream, and Sam and I were getting this news. It was just one after another, news that we had no idea. We didn't think Zeke was going to be out, and then he was out, and that changed everything, obviously, because we both played Tony Pollard. So that was a really fun week. I like when the late news comes like that, because I think it's advantageous to people like us that are studying all week and really paying attention, because I trust myself to make the right decision, whereas a lot of people wake up on Sunday and they make a lineup and they just don't really check it again. That's what they play. So it was a fun week. And yeah, there's nothing better than being in Discord when everyone, just watching the people just sweat out the games. Dude, there's literally nothing better than being in Discord on Sunday.
Christmas came early for Karma Nation. Again, super happy. I'll kind of go over my lineup real quick. I think, Ben, if I'm not mistaken, you literally beat me by somebody posted. I saw a message by 0.4 points. Is that true?
Less than a point.
That's unbelievable. I mean, because we had similar plays, but we definitely took some different routes. So real quick, I actually did go with Jalen Hurts. This is a part of the podcast that we've really been trying to put some emphasis on, because I feel like it does help. We've gotten some great feedback. I'm just kind of going over the lineup real quick of last week. I went Jalen Hurts. I talked about it on the Cash Process last week, and I was sticking with it. I actually had to do probably less research, because I just felt like he was too cheap. And generally, this is nothing against, Ben went a different route, and it clearly paid off. I generally, in a great game environment, I love the game environment, I'll generally always take the cheaper guy. So in a vacuum, if Jalen Hurts' name was Kyler Murray and he was cheaper, I mean, it doesn't even matter the player. I liked both rushing upside, which we talked about in Discord. And they both popped in our projections portal. So I just took the cheaper guy, and that's how I like to build a quarterback. If I can find the cheaper guy, I'll go that route. To your point, Ben, Derrick Henry, cannot believe he was only 55% owned. He did run bad. It is what it is, but 28 points, I'm not going to complain about it. Pollard, again, if people aren't on the grind. I was listening to you guys actually driving to get food on the live stream. And when you guys brought up Pollard, and Ben, you've been hyping him up for a long time on his sheer athlete type bases, not even just whatever game environment. I just knew that was an auto lock for me. So, he was 50% owned. There's still an edge. He should have been 75-85%. I personally went Bowden, Sanders, Mims at wide receiver. That was not a sexy combination, but it was just the way the week played out. I debated between Ayuk, of course, which I put in my expert plays, as well as everybody else. He was the play. A 6,300. I just really wanted Travis Kelce. I was tired of getting burned personally at tight end every week. And, 22.8 points wasn't his ceiling output, but it got enough done for me to cash in all single GPPs. I had probably one of the highest volumes of the slate in the last few months for me in cash games. Actually told my wife, if we're winning, right, Ben, send you guys a text before the slate. If I win this week, we're going to go to Cancun. So we're probably going to go to Cancun. It was a good week. I do real quick on tight end, Ben. Just curious your thoughts on this. Like, I know you went the Cole Kmet route. It paid off. Fine. I mean, generally I'm paying down too, but it started getting to a point where I really looked at the tight end position similar to the center position on FanDuel for NBA. Shout out to the NBA team in the product that's, you know, live now on the website. There's early bird discounts. FYI, Christmas Day is approaching, guys. NBA, we got it. Projections, core plays, content, cheat sheets, everything's at the website. Ben, I really feel like you got to get tight end right these days. And if it on center on FanDuel, if you don't get tight end right, I feel like you're dead half the time. But also when you take the guy with the higher upside, who's generally got a higher probability of hitting that upside, you're generally ahead elsewhere, meaning like my receivers didn't do that much. I played Denzel Mims at 4.8 points, Bowden 10 points, Sanders 11, like, but it still paid off. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, to your point, you know, you play 2 to 3 running backs, you play 3 receivers, you only play 1 tight end. So if you get the tight end that really pops off, that does obviously put you ahead of people.
So that was my quick little thesis segment on some of the routes as to why I wanted Hopkins. We talked about him on that cash process. And then I didn't come off him. I only played 2 GPPs in that $1,500 cash 2 of 3. And Hopkins and Murray were one of my quote unquote hedge teams, even though I liked them a ton. But yeah, ultimately I went Kelsey, and maybe I would have scored a little bit more had I stuck with my guns, including Greg Ward, who we talked about on the cash process last week, and Logan Thomas, but I digress. Yep.
I love that on Saturday, you told me on Saturday, I was like, I don't know how I can play Hopkins. And you're like, dude, I thought that we agreed we're playing him no matter what. And then you're the one that ended up not playing him.
I know. And it wasn't a thing. It was just the way that the roster construction, you know, again, with tight end, I was like, if I'm playing, because I played Kamara and Emmanuel, I really did fell. I wanted Emmanuel Sanders, man. Like, I know you went with Traquan, right?
No, I had Hopkins, Lynn Bowden Jr., and Michael Gallup. That was my 3.
Oh, so you just completely faded the receivers. That's interesting. I mean, yeah. I thought you would have needed at least 1, but I don't think Traquan did anything for that.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
Again, that was maybe a poor play by me in hindsight, but I really felt strong about the value hitting of Emmanuel Sanders relative to Brandon Ayuk, per se, at a cheaper discount, which was. And if I had 2 Saints in my lineup, I really wanted to come back with, you know, a Kelsey who I thought actually went lower owned than what he should have. Surprised to see him only, you know, at like 30% in some of these, you know, cash games. So anyways, like I said, let's get into week 16, another great week ahead. There's only 10 games though, guys. So just quick food for thought. I saw 11 week last week. I felt like I pressed my limits a little bit too much for my own bankroll. But again, I just had such a good year. I wanted to finish even stronger. But 10 games, historically, Ben, we're going to see a lot more cash concentration on their chalk concentration this week, in my opinion, relative to most weeks. So just be careful. Like, you know, contest selection's key. I wouldn't personally, again, unless you want to press like I did. I mean, I wouldn't be entering those big double ups. I did last week for the first time in a little while. But, you know, those cash lines are surprisingly harder to achieve than people think. I mean, stick to the single entry 50-50s DraftKings offers, or the 100 bands on both websites, FanDuel and DraftKings. So, you know, again, food for thought. It could just be me being paranoid coming off a big win, but I do think you're going to see a lot more concentration this week, which a lot more similar lineups and cash games. All right, Ben, let's get into quarterback to start out week 16, or is there anything high level you need to address on the slate? I know it's only Monday. I mean, literally, this slate just ended like,
yeah,
6 hours ago, I feel like.
This is a bit earlier than we normally do it, so a little bit more interesting. But I actually think this would be a fun slate. The first thing I noticed when I opened my app, which, you know, we're going to talk about quarterback first, but at running back, the most expensive running back, you have McCaffrey, who we have no idea if he's going to play. He's 9,200. And then the most expensive guy is Nick Chubb at 7,800. So, like, there's no expensive running backs, and there's no Davante Adams because the Packers aren't on the slate. So I actually think that makes the slate pretty interesting. Like, I think it's a little bit more challenging than just, you know, oh, you know, Adams is on the slate. We're going to plug him in. We're going to plug in Derrick Henry and move on. So I do think that's makes it a little bit more interesting. But quarterback, 3 things stood out to me my first run through the salaries. One, Patrick Mahomes at 8,500. I know that's expensive, but pass funnel spot against the Atlanta Falcons. They're at home, so I definitely like him. Jalen Hurts is 7K. That seems like, you know, a little bit of a sticker shock there because he has been so cheap and we've been playing him. But the way that he's been playing, you know, he's on the road indoors, which I think is big against Dallas. I don't see how Dallas has the guys on defense to stop Jalen Hurts with how he's been playing. So 7K, I think, is still a discount for someone that's going to run like him. Like, he ran 18 times in his first game, and he followed that up with 11 rush attempts yesterday. So Jalen Hurts is still a really good play as well. And then the last guy, I don't know if you really can consider him in cash games, but your boy Mitch Trubisky is 5,700. Mitch Trubisky is, like, I don't really know who to compare to, but he's famous for just shredding really bad defenses, right? Like, that's what he does. Like, the Lions, he owns the Lions, which, perennially, not a good defense. Jacksonville, obviously, is a really bad defense. And 5,700 for someone who does have it in the tank that they can run the ball a little bit, I do think is interesting just because Jacksonville's so bad.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. My first thoughts are I'm probably for the third week in a row going right back to the Hurts, well, at least on a cash process, because the first week I pushed out and came off him. But $7,000, you know, I don't think it's – I know you mentioned the word sticker shock. I don't think it's as bad as we think, only because he has so much rushing upside. So to me, again, quick analysis, he's Lamar Jackson at $1,000 cheaper. So why not go that route?
Lamar's a good passer. Do you think he's a better passer than Lamar? Because, dude, people were really ripping Jalen Hurts for, like, looking super bad throwing the ball in his first game, and he freaking went over the 300-yard bonus, dude.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is very early on, but I would say it's, like, no question. I mean, how do you not have your paws in the DFS industry, the betting sector, and you watch just a few games? I mean, Jalen Hurts throws balls in some pockets that are, like, dimes almost. I mean, dude, Lamar can't do that. We know that, Ben. I mean, not only does the world watch Lamar in prime time, we see a lot of him, you know, in the Cleveland game the last few years as well. I mean, the dude can't throw. I love Lamar, obviously. But, yeah, Jalen looks early on like he's got way better accuracy. Did you see that ball Hurts dropped in the freaking end zone? I mean, how much better does that have to be thrown? Those balls to Greg Ward, those were perfect passes. I mean, I don't recall seeing many Lamar Jackson throws like that, but man, Hurts has got like an extra gear running too. I'm still upset 3 weeks ago I didn't play him, but I still panned out okay. But yeah, I'll probably go right back to the Hurts well, especially with Dallas just sucking balls, to be honest.
Yep. I don't know if there's anyone else you want to really talk about at quarterback, because I think, like, it's going to be obvious chalk, I assume, on Hurts. So as far as, like, pivots goes, like, Trubisky can be considered a pivot because he's not going to be high owned. So I do like him a little bit.
All right. Well, I'll give you my leverage.
Okay. Is it who I think it is? I think I have an idea.
Yeah, obviously. So besides the Mahomes on this slate, you know, in fact, I mean, now I'm looking at Watson versus Cincy. I'm sure that'll get traction.
Sure.
You got to go to Baker this week. I mean, this is going to be week 16. There's not going to be too many spots that we really get Baker in a plus advantage. And I still stand by, again, in the expert picks, I'm 95% sure last week, you know, I was in the Rams wide receivers just to attack that secondary that is atrocious. And I feel like the Browns, they ran a lot last week into a similar front that they're going to see with the Jets, which surprisingly is a little bit of a better front seven than both teams, the Giants and the Jets. I just think the Browns, they have to open it up even more so. And Baker looks damn good right now. I mean, he just does. So I think people still won't play him for fantasy because he doesn't have rushing upside.
Yeah, I tweeted out a tweet today from Ben Baldwin where Baker's basically been the most efficient quarterback in the league since week six. I think overall for the whole season, he's top five in EPA per play. So he actually has been playing pretty good. It's not like the Jets are good either.
There's serviceable Browns receivers around him. I mean, like, Peoples Jones is kind of coming to life. You know, Higgins is just better than we think. They're not fast guys, but, you know, it's kind of like the Deontay Johnsons of the world, you know, and the Steelers that they got over there. All right, let's go to running back, Ben. Quick glance for me. I mean, I think it could be very concentrated on a couple of guys, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm assuming McCaffrey's just not going to play, right? So we'll just assume he's not going to play. David Montgomery definitely is going to get traction. 7,700. Another monster game yesterday. 32 DraftKings points. Looks really good. You know, historically, this was a guy with a low ceiling and someone that can't rip off big runs. But, I mean, over 100 yards in three of his last four. Obviously, Jacksonville's just dreadful against the run. So, really good matchup for him. The guys that stick out to me, like chalk, definitely Le'Veon Bell is going to be chalk because Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not going to play in this game, I would assume. Le'Veon Bell is 5,800. They play Atlanta. I'm sure that will be a chalky play by the time we get to the weekend. That's really the two that stick out to me. Then you have like the kind of the duo, the rookie duo right there. Cam Akers is 6,300 and J.K. Dobbins is 6,200. I like both of them as well.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's, again, with the injury news, I mean, I did see Bell went down. I don't know if he came back in the game. Honestly, I don't remember right now. But, yeah, Bell, obviously, 5,800. You know, I don't even know who's behind him at this point.
Yeah, so if we play Bell, like, are we just going, like, Chiefs onslaught? Like, just throw them all
probably. Might as well. I mean, I haven't even honestly gotten that far yet. I'm kind of looking at this stuff live on Monday in real time. I know you've looked a little ahead. But, yeah, Montgomery, just you have to play Montgomery at this point. I mean, he's going to be so high owned in cash games. But, again, you can still win, you know, in cash games. I feel like some people just, you know, we drink the Kool-Aid of this is going to be so chalk week. I mean, even I admit it at times, too. But I think we can still find an edge. So Montgomery and Bell right now on Monday, yes, are the guys in my running back slot for me. Couple leverage spots then. Let me just steal the thunder in this one. Miles Sanders is like, I'm probably going to play two lineups this week, two GPPs, and then my cash lineup just like last week. Miles Sanders is without a doubt my number one running back on the entire slate as far as leverage goes. Maybe he becomes popular. I don't know. Like 7K doesn't seem cheap. But I'm assuming if everybody's on Hurts, that'll draw ownership down on him. It doesn't look like a great running back week in general all around. But, you know, if you don't have Hurts in the lineup, you definitely probably should have Miles Sanders. And I'm almost positive that Dallas right now is like bottom three in the league against not just rushing yards given up, but like before contact and, you know, every other analytical stat under the sun. So I just think it's a great matchup. And frankly, you probably could build a Hurts and Sanders, I mean, stack if you wanted to, but that's probably getting crazy.
Can I interest you in a little David Johnson at 6,100? We'll see if Duke Johnson plays. Dude. But him being out was big. I mean, David Johnson went over 100 receiving yards, man. When was the last time he did that?
I cannot believe it. That's a great call, actually. And, you know, Discord, a bunch of us were talking about him Monday morning before all the news broke, and he kind of got lost in the shuffle. I mentioned he was cash playable. I had him in one of my lineups, and then, of course, somehow I came off him. When I saw his final stat category, I was like, is that David Johnson? Yeah. You know, like, there's so many, like, Johnsons in the league. I'm like, you know, you're watching Red Zone, and you just see something scrolling for receiver. You know, it's like top five, you know, you're watching Red Zone, and it's like number two, D Johnson. I'm like, don't even be David Johnson, because that dude was in my main tournament roster, and somehow, like, somebody else got on there with the Pollard news. And, you know, but, like, Dobbins didn't have a bad game, but it didn't. He didn't have 10 catches for 120 yards or whatever the heck he had. So, yes, he's definitely playable. 6,100 looks like in a pretty decent matchup. Yeah, against the Bengals coming off a short week. Who played tonight?
Yep. Receiver, I don't know, dude. If we're going to move to receiver, I think the question would start out with, are you going to play Tyreek Hill? He's 9K, getting to that Devontae Adams territory. I think a lot of people haven't adjusted to just the role that he's been playing, because historically Tyreek Hill is the boom or bust guy, right? Like, he's got to catch a long touchdown to beat value. But I mean, they've just been feeding him the ball, and they're so creative with how they move him around before the snap. It's just different than how they've ever used him before. So, you know, gun to your head, Monday afternoon, are you going to play Tyreek Hill at 9K?
If there's enough value. So right now it sounds like, you know, Lev Bell could be in play, which is 5,800. Like, is there going to be a third running back? Because, dude, COVID, this year in general, I feel like there's just crazy news. So if we get like a 4K running back, I mean, honestly, I'm not even looking at all these guys right now, some kind of injury news, then yes, because we already have kind of the Lev Bell thing going on. And if Lev Bell is mega chalk, this is another thing that I kind of do mentally when looking at my main roster, especially in like golf. I know it sounds ass backwards, but like a lot of times if I can figure out, a way to put a block in my lineup. Like, if I know Lev Bell's going to be 70% owned, just, you know, say there's like no other running back that's going to be getting touches, why not have Tyreek in there? Because if he does do the Tyreek thing, most people aren't going to play him anyways, because they're going to think, oh, I have my Chiefs exposure with Bell. Well, so does everybody else. So yes, I would play him if there's enough value. Right now I can say, you know, I took a quick look right now at tight end, 8,500 now for Kelce, especially after what he did to me last week. Like, I don't think I can go back to Kelce. I'm going to have to do what I normally do and pay down. So then therefore, yes, I'm already kind of looking at one of these receivers, and it could be Tyreek. So I'll plug him in for right now.
Yeah, and speaking of the Chiefs, I'm not, like, entrenched in, like, the playoff scenario streets. Like, I just play fantasy. So someone on YouTube can comment this below and let us know. I think I heard something like the Chiefs, like, this game's irrelevant for the Chiefs because they can't clinch until next week. So, like, it doesn't matter if they won this game or not. They can't move up or down, and they can't clinch till next week, so it doesn't matter, like, what they do in this game. So maybe that would be something worth watching, but I have no idea. Someone can comment on YouTube, because I don't know the situation there.
Intriguing. I like that. That's good analysis, Ben, because
that could come in play for sure if they wanted to do some crazy stuff. But below him, I mean, obviously, you know, a lot of these high price guys are fine. Like DK Metcalf, I know he got banged up, but I think he came back in. So, you know, all these guys, a lot of these guys are playable. Calvin Ridley went ham last week, but he's so high now. Like, even if Julio misses, like, you know, you would just find the 500 for Tyreek, I think. So I think I would drop down more to, like, this mid-tier. Like, I would like to get a Dallas guy, I think. Like, if we're playing Hurts, I would like to get a Dallas guy for correlation. Especially Philly, like, I think both safeties are still going to be out. Slay will probably be back, but, you know, they're still going to be down two safeties, which is big. So I would like to get some Dallas exposure opposite Hurts, whether it be Cooper or CeeDee Lamb, like whoever. And then Marquise Brown is 5,700 on DraftKings. I know another guy that's typically, you know, boom bust, but he's been really good the last couple weeks. And, you know, like we've been talking about, the Ravens are in must win mode. His last four DraftKings games, 18, 14, 13, and 16. That's a pretty cheap price for Hollywood Brown, who does have, you know, a big ceiling.
I've lost money on Hollywood Brown.
I know.
I'm done with him. That thing's over. All right. Let me add, totally cash playable, by the way. I mean, revenge game, everything under the sun. Dude, Allen Robinson. I mean, you know, we talk about leverage, right? So this could be viewed as leverage or cash, I guess. David Montgomery is going to be mega chalk. So Robinson should be probably way more owned. I'm just guessing right now because it's such a good matchup. He'll probably be 12, maybe 14%. He probably should be 20 to 25. So that's like, you know, he'd be in my main tournament if he wasn't in my cash lineup, you know. So that's just kind of how I build. But that's someone I'm looking at heavily. Number two, I've already kind of mentioned the Browns, but, you know, Landry, Hollywood Higgins, those guys. I just wanted to mention that. But I like Cooper Kupp a lot this week. I feel like this is a great spot for him to get back on track in the slot coming off, you know, I mean, I don't even know what to say about that game losing to the Jets, but we know that's going to be high scoring game. The slot is open against Seattle, and I think they're going to have to juice it up in the passing game. So I like Kupp a lot at 6,600. I think he's fairly priced. I don't think it's extremely cheap, but I'm going to take a hard look at him. Ben, who else are you looking down as we kind of scroll down into the 5K range? There's a lot of guys. I mean, you know, you really can't go wrong. Like, you definitely can find receivers in the 4 to 5K range, but anyone else, you're looking lower.
Yeah, there was three cheap guys that stuck out to me just first glance at salary. One, Jamison Crowder, 4,500 against the Browns in the slot, I think is a really good price tag. Chad Hansen, we talked about him on the cash process last week. He's going to be on the field, man, and he scored again last week. He's got 18, 12, and 13 DraftKings points in his three games. He's on the field a ton, running a lot of routes, 4,400 against Cincy, you know, at home. I still think he's a good play. And then depending on what happens in this Monday night game with the Steelers, James Washington could get some traction. He's 3,600. He's actually been running ahead of Chase Claypool a lot down the stretch here for the Steelers. So if he went out and, like, scores a touchdown tonight, he could probably end up getting some ownership because he's only 3,600.
I love that universal karma connection from you to me on that. I actually made a temporary showdown lineup, and I'm playing him. I mean, he'll be 20% owned, but
yeah.
I agree. He's got kind of some sneaky upside. He looks like he's got that extra twitch in
yeah.
his game.
Yeah, well, people forget he's James Washington is the guy that like went off like two preseasons in a row for the Steelers, and then just like never panned out because they had like Mason Rudolph at quarterback. But yeah, I mean, he definitely has juice. I mean, he freaking lit the preseason up like 2 years in a row.
Anyone else that you're kind of looking at even cheaper? I mean, I'll just, this is disgusting, but again, according to tonight, let's see what happens. AJ Green is 3,400. If he somehow has, you know, like a seven catch game, you know, 75 yards and a score, dude, he's going to be chalk of the week going against Houston. I mean, 3,400, you know, just seems so cheap. I know he's washed up. I mean, Donovan's people. Jones is down here. I know people won't play him in cash games, but he's been getting a lot of run with the Browns, 3,700. Anyone else? I mean, Josh Reynolds is probably in play this week if you're looking for a punt at 3,200. Same story against Seattle. You know, he should play a lot in the slot.
Yeah, I mean, like, Hamler's 3,200, but, like, he's always just more GPP for me, but that is cheap.
Yeah. All right, let's go to tight end. I mentioned Kelce, 8,500. I mean, I know you're not going to play him, Ben. 85% of the time, we're never touching that tight end, really above pretty much the limits that I paid for him last week. I just thought it was a great opportunity, A, like I said, to look for some leverage, and B, I'm playing two Saints in my lineup. That's why I spent the 8,000. I didn't like doing it. I did it. It paid off, but, you know, whatever. I'm going lower this week, Ben, so where are you starting at tight end?
Yeah, I like Hayden Hurst at 3,400 against KC. Like, if we're going to be playing some KC guys, getting someone on the opposite side, I think makes sense. I don't mind going back to Cole Kmet. I know he didn't have a good game, but he still was on the field a ton. So it's not like – I don't really view it as a different play than he was last week, and he's the same price tag, and he plays the Jaguars, who are really, really bad against tight ends. So I think you can go back to him, and I don't know, do you want to torture yourself by playing Jordan Akins?
Dude,
he had 10 points. He had 10 points the week we didn't play him. Like, it's classic, right?
I mean, unbelievable. I went back to him because I don't know, I'm a sucker, but he did kind of 5X almost. He didn't 5X, but he almost did your point. And dude, I was loving it because there was a chance at the end of the game there that he was setting himself up for another red zone opportunity. I was like, please God, get to 17 points and I just break the slate, because my GPP was going off with him in it. It allowed for enough price flexibility throughout my roster. But yeah, I'll take a hard look at him. What's his price at this week? Like 29?
Yeah, he's like 34, I think, or something.
Oh, okay. He got a little price bump back.
10 points and they're just skyrocketing his price, dude.
Austin Hooper will have to take a look at 3,400. I mean, he's, you know, he's involved. He gets 3 to 5 catches like all these guys. I think right now, if I got the money, I'm probably going to Logan Thomas. I mean, I talked about it the week before. I somehow did not play him, which, you know, he wasn't popular. But 4,900 seems fair. I don't think it's aggressively priced. I think he can match Kelce. I think he can outdo Andrews. So to me, he's probably the best play in this league. But I do find myself like you paying down in one of these low 3K players usually. All right, let's finish up at defense.
Yeah, not a ton is sticking out to me at defense. Like, Houston, 2,800 at home against Cincy. Like, that's kind of guaranteed they get, like, a turnover, too. They're just so bad. But, I mean, that's probably the best play to me. Seattle at home against Goff, who looks bad, is another good play, 2,600. That's probably the two that stick out the most to me.
Giants are interesting. I mean, 2,500 against Lamar. You know, we just saw them on Monday night. They played well against the Seahawks and the Browns, relatively speaking, in a vacuum. You know, I don't think they're going to really hurt you that much. So that's what I'm looking at, I guess. Anyone else? Panthers, 2,700, right down that range too.
Yeah, you could punt with the Jags if you want, 2,200 against Mitch. Like, he could turn it over once or twice.
Yeah. All right, guys, that does it. Good luck this week. We got another week left. We'll probably do one more cash process and then call it a season because the playoffs itself are kind of whack. But, you know, we have media pumping for NBA. MLB isn't going to be too far around the corner. But, you know, a lot of things going on at betkarma.com. Like I said, early bird discount for everything. at dfskarma.com with the NBA stuff. You can hop into our Discord chat room, which is the product under the subscriptions tab, to talk to all of us staff for all of these sports that we offer. Good luck this week, guys. Talk to you next week.